got answers to a couple of questions that I thought were really solid. With some real answers, they sounded largely supportive of the idea of moving free play on your campus code of conduct, which surprised me.
But did the word fox guarding the hen house come up in your mind?
No.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But one of their concerns was their boards have been a little accused in the past of commercial pitches, they joined out and on.
Oh, all of their.
Folks on, so that one of their things, that would solve that problem.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that is that hearing board. Of at least in part. So, and it was like, oh, how that is. There was so much focus on the kind of. There was so much, let's say, aggressive kind of tickling around, just kind of Greek wine.
Oh, yeah.
Sooner rather than later. I didn't know she was an electrician. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I think the trick here is, I mean, it's by fire, you're in the campus.
That's interesting.
Previously, they were, you know, Cornell. They were Cornell.
You know where all.
Repercussions as far as public opinion. So.
Yeah, it's more dangerous than just driving. I know.
You really don't think good.
What's your baseball team or what's it?
Oh,
Cubs, okay. I got Cubs.
Yes.
Well, everybody loves the Cubs, especially you. But I bought them after they won the series. I wore a Cubs sweatshirt.
I used to.
The main thing, like, when I wore it, it's a national, you know, like the Red Sox, they have like a national.
Yeah, she goes on it.
Yeah, watch out, walk across the somebody will come up and say, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Definitely, yeah. My brother's like, what?
Are you from Chicago? I'm from Illinois.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I actually left my Cubs out in the house.
I really like Joe Maddon. You know when the manager does a good thing for two different teams is really.
It's got a personality there.
Yeah, I really like that. I like that. He's non-standard, but my wife likes him because of his glasses.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to wait to call the meeting to order until we have a quorum.
Unless, do we have, who else is on other than Carrie? Is anyone else on, Pam?
What's the 47?
Someone named Jessica.
Maybe
morning.
Just
hey.
We do post the link for public
viewing. And Nancy Doodle is there. Hello, Nancy.
Yes. You're trying to do the forum?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just on the phone with Moe's because I'm trying to figure out what.
Tanya's going to be on to call into Zoom.
Okay.
I'll blood be late. Okay.
What do we need?
Weather's too nice.
Yeah, we need 15.
Just need one more.
Awesome.
Does anybody want to vote twice? There we go.
15, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Hi.
Hi, Daniela.
Perfect.
Good afternoon. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. It is now 12:16. Any late additions to the agenda today? Okay. So we'll move to approval of minutes from took place on February 14th. And thank you, Kat, for minutes. Are there any amendments to the minutes or any dissent to approving the minutes?
I think Christy Mahoney was here, and she's indicated as absent.
Yes, Christy came late. That is correct.
So I just want to make sure that she's represented
as
being here. And it's hard when we do roll call at the beginning and people show up. But I think since she's not here right now, she would probably say,
I was here.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Kat, if we could please ensure that that's... Any other comments regarding the minutes? There's no dissent. Minutes from our last. We'll go ahead. This is the day and call on to update on the consensual policy.
You want me to talk about the other stuff?
Sure. Please. Yes.
Yeah. So I raised this last fall, maybe through the executive, but it was a heads up, and here's what it is. So there are 1,600 university faculty. Those are the tenure track faculty. There are 1,000 what I would call non-tenure track faculty. So they're like 350 lecturers, 350 researchers, 200 extension folks, 100 librarians, and so on. That adds up to about 1,000. And they have a lot in common with the faculty, needless to say. So in December, Chris Schaefer and I floated a question, and all that group belongs to is EA. Okay. And so over the break, Chris and I phrased a very simple question, which we asked that group, which is, you know, a little bit of background. Are you okay with your representation, or would you like something different? And so we got about 80 pretty thoughtful responses, and most of them said we'd like to do something through the Senate. I should also say that there are 500 postdocs. I didn't do that accounting, and we asked the same question of them. Now, postdocs are very busy. Their world is a great world. It's a small world, which is their research and whatever. And they kind of don't. I'm generalizing, but it's not too far to say that, you know, they're very happy in that great position where they don't have to pay attention to anything beyond their research and whatever. So anyway, but let me just go back to the non-tenure track faculty. So brought it up to the Senate. So incidentally, this was an issue like in 2000, there was a report on this and never went anywhere. So I told the Senate we're doing that, and then I reported on the quote the results in February 2 weeks ago. Everyone was okay with it, and here's what the next step is going to be, and I'm pretty well on the way of doing it. We're going to form a committee that will have maybe 10 people, all the different categories. You know, here's an extension person, here's a librarian, here's a lecturer, here's a senior researcher. You know, really try to span the space and figure things out. And here's what can be done. So the definition of university faculty is never going to change, okay? However, the Senate, which now sort of is the university faculty Senate, could just become a faculty Senate with representation for all these groups. And there are two little dials you can turn. One would be a rule saying that a department can send anybody they want to the Senate, okay? Right now you have to send a tenure track person. But we would say to all the departments, you can send anybody you want, okay? Then the other thing you can do is we have all these senator at large seats, okay? And one of them, like for example, is designated for the emeritus faculty, whatever. But you could then pick a bunch of those and say, all right, two librarians, or you know, maybe someone from Botanic Gardens. This for lectures. You know, you could create these sort of at large seats and whatever. So I don't see. I think this is going to happen. I don't. I think the way I'm playing it up with the faculty is that you know, it's real easy to talk about that group over there to be inclusive, but what about ourselves, right? I mean, here we have right next to us 1,000 people who do what we do, and we need as many eyes as possible on these hard problems. You know, it's not really about I'm sure all these groups have issues and they would be considered, but it's really all about the regular stuff. It's about teaching and research, and these 1,000 people here have a lot to contribute there. So to me, it's just having more people working on these big issues. So anyway, we're going to form this committee. I have the names. We're very close to doing that. I think in 2 weeks we'll have it. We'll do a little bit of work here in the spring. I've made the deadline October 1st to have some kind of plan. So the plan then goes to the Senate. The Senate then passes a resolution that says, yeah, this is important. Then we have to do a university faculty referendum.
Yeah.
Okay. The 1,600 tenured faculty would have to vote on this. Okay. So I think something's going to happen, and I think it's good. I've looked at other universities. There are many different variations. You know, for example, at Michigan and Berkeley, the lecturers are unionized, so they're kind of off the table. Other places have maybe a 20-person Senate where they go to each college and say, you have two people, you have three people, and whatever. So every place is different. But there are definitely places that are more outgoing towards the non-tenured track faculty. So. Anyway, so it's not like pulling out, it's not like we're taking, you guys are relaxed about this, right? It's not like a thousand people are going to somehow walk across the street or something. It's not that, right?
They haven't been willing participants of our group as is. So.
Yeah, anyway, so I think that's going to happen, and I'm pretty excited about it because it doesn't cost anything, and it has like kind of a happy conclusion. There aren't many things like that around, so.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Yeah. And so the floor is still yours, sir.
Okay, so this is this other thing. So
been busy.
Right, so here's this too as a background. So
here's how you move forward.
Which was the
arrow.
Oh, like this. Yeah. Okay, so this has a story too. So like this is about consensual relationships, okay? Mostly between faculty and students, but there are, as you'll see, there are other pairings possible. And this is very important. If you read, like, Rochester had a case here. They had a weak policy, and here's the consequences of it. A whole department was destroyed. You know, some people think, hey, it's just those two people, you know, deal with it. It doesn't affect me. But this got so bad that the brain science, Brain and Cognitive Science Department is devastated. The professional society that sits on top of that group, 400 people signed a petition saying, don't send your undergrads to Rochester to do grad work, okay? The president lost his job, okay? So that's the kind of stakes, okay? And if you have a weak policy, stuff happens, and it's not just, two people, it can be huge, okay? So I look at it as good news and bad news. Bad news because, you know, I love University of Rochester. You hate seeing stuff like that happen. But it actually is kind of handy for us because it elevates people's thinking about this in the right direction. Namely, this is a really important issue. So we've been working on this since November, before November. We have a whole website. You can see tons of stuff there. If you want to look at 50 other schools, what they do, you can easily do that. We phrased 10 sort of study questions that have been up there for a couple of months now, and we've gotten a good number of responses. It's not like the calendar where we've got 3,000 comments. But these are much fewer, but really thoughtful stuff. I mean, you can read, people write paragraphs, and it's really good. So we've gathered a lot of information. Now we have a pretty good rough draft out there. Anyway, if you go to our website, you can see everything. So you know, it's broad consensus, and we're sort of done with phase one, which is gathered data. We're going into phase two, which is now, there's actual pros there, and people are going to now react to it. In 2 weeks, I'll get up in front of the Senate and talk about it, and there'll be a lot of discussion. Then there'll be a one-month period to the April Senate meeting where we'll probably do some editing and whatever, and then there'll be a Senate vote in April. And that vote, together with comments that people have made, will go to Martha. And that story is repeated in each of the assemblies, okay? This is our first visit here, right? You'll have a chance to see this policy. We can certainly come back and chit-chat. But you, too, will vote on this, and that will go to Martha, and so will comments. And what do I mean by comments? I mean, maybe the vote is 15 to 5, and maybe you were one of the 15, but, hey, I don't like this paragraph, or I like this, but not that. So that information will go to Martha. Hopefully, she's going to get a ton of stuff on her desk on May 1st. Hopefully, there's some consistency to it. Because what's one of the worst things that could happen? It's all over the place. The faculty's divided. You know, the grad students are divided. Then what Martha's going to do is hand it over to the lawyers, and they'll do something on their own. Well, they'll pay attention, clearly, to all the stuff that comes their way. But it won't. What's produced from the law, from the lawyers, won't look like anything we sort of did. And that is really an awful outcome, because then it's going to be a top-down. They're telling us what to do. So we're working really hard to get consensus, okay? It doesn't do any good to be real hard-ass and get something that's defeated in the Senate. You want to make it strong, but again, sufficiently open-minded so that people will buy into it. So anyway, it's a tricky political kind of thing. Anyway, so that's the background. So there are many different kinds of relationships. The big thing here is we talk about the authority and the subordinate. The authority can make decisions that affect the academic well-being, professional future of the subordinate. The subordinate is always a student, okay? However, and when I talk here, I'll use faculty-student, but it's a bigger scene. So we have undergraduates, graduates, and postgraduates. Postgraduates are all the postdocs, the vet interns, the visiting critics over in the architecture and so on. It's that group. So when we talk about one of these relationships, the subordinate comes from that group. On the other hand, you can have in the authority position a staff member, okay, a faculty member, broadly construed, you know, all the lecturers that group I talked about a few minutes ago, graduate students and undergrads. For example, CS, we have undergraduate graders, okay? It's not right for a grader to have a relationship with a student that he or she is grading, okay? You have the classical grad TA undergrad thing. But the real driver behind this is really PhD advisor, graduate student. That's the big, everything else is important, but that is the driver behind all this. So there are 15 different pairings, and our policy has to say something about them all. And when we started out, staff was not part of the picture. We were thinking that we would do our thing, and then when we're all done, it would be a simple matter to just, you know, go through what we produce and then just adjust it for staff. But in the first meeting, we decided that's not the way to do this. So, you know, the staff pairing might be, you know, I work in a an admissions office, and here's an undergrad, you know, so you can use your imagination. There are 15 possibilities there. The goal is to inspire ethical behavior. It's not to be, you don't want to be punitive, all right? You don't want to be come across as the love police, okay? It's all about creating a great climate on campus for teaching and research and learning, okay? And it's not about, you know, a long list of, you can't do this, okay? I should say that words are incredibly important in writing this up, because there are all kinds of hot button words. I mean, if you talk, well, let me go to the next slide. So we're going to recommend a prohibition on all faculty UGrad consensual relationships. Background, there are 50 you know, research universities like us out there. 17 of them do this. All the Ivy Leagues do this except Columbia and Penn. So you don't come out and say undergraduates are naive, undergraduates are immature. You can't say any of that stuff. It's not true. It's not true. Instead, you pitch it like this, okay? That, you know, undergraduates have the free reign across the whole university, any person, any study, and anything that interferes with that really should not be tolerated. So this is going to be a controversial. I can go into any details on this. There are practical and other reasons why
this is how we came down with. We have undergraduates on our committee, and they're all uniformly in favor of this. We talked to the Women's Resource Center. It was a little bit mixed, but my reading and Anna, so Anna is somewhere else right now doing something like this with another group. Our reading there is that, in general, that this is something that they want. Okay, go to the grad, so now, why be a little bit more flexible with graduate students? Well, for one thing, they have completed undergraduate experience. Okay? Now, by graduates here, I mean all the definition of graduate is you have an undergraduate degree, so master's, PhD, and all that. Okay, and here, there's a narrower definition, which is to say, getting back to authority and subordinate, the authority can affect your future, your academic well-being, your professional well-being. That person is what we call, is an authority, an academic authority. And it's not right to have that, to have a relationship with your subordinate. Okay, so that's off limits. For example, I'm a PhD advisor. I don't have a relationship with my student. I'm on the special committee for that student. Likewise, I'm the chair of that the department where that student is. That's off limits. I'm the DGS, off limits. Okay, so a rather specific thing there for graduate students. If I'm a graduate student in computer as a professor in computer science, which here are two distant fields in the universe. A professor here and a grad student there is okay. That's all right. Okay. So a more nuanced set of rules for graduate students, and they can handle it because they have the benefit of the undergraduate experience. What's the big change between these two slides? Staff. Okay. Same thing. If a staff person who can affect the academic future and professional future of a student, that's off limits. Okay, that's off limits. Okay, there's a huge fuzzy area. I mean, in fact, everything is fuzzy. What do we mean by consensual? You could go down everything I said and challenge it or whatever. So there is a fuzzy area. And in these arenas, I'll step to an example here, you implement what's called a recusal plan. Now, let me just go back to the thing about words. Most universities will talk about a management plan. Well, if you use the word management, what are you going to trigger in the faculty senate? Oh, business, or you're trying to control me, right? On the other hand, if you say recusal, you know what that means. I mean, it's like saying we're going to pay attention to the academic space, all right? I'm gonna leave the room if you're gonna talk about my partner in some academic setting. So there's the classical sort of thing. For example, say it's a big department and the faculty member is having a relationship with a student, but not an advisor and not an instructor in class. So the authority goes to the chair, or maybe the DGS, and they come up with a plan saying, all right, now here are some venues where I'm not going to be involved. TA assignments. Who gets to use the lab on the weekend? I'm just going to recuse myself. We're going to identify these places where there might be a conflict of interest, and we come to an agreement. One of the things in our policy is that big time letters have to be CC. There are too many examples. Suppose I'm Professor Big in this department. I bring in tons of money. If it was just between me and the chair, you're setting yourself up for, look the other way or some kind of anemic slap on the wrist kind of thing. So the idea here is that, for example, this arrangement, this recusal plan, it goes to the college HR office. And it is kind of just a matter of fact way, okay? And we do all kinds of things like this with money, right? You sign conflict of interest, all the faculty that sign these conflict of interest things with money. So the same kind of thing, right? Recusal plans. And then this is really important, and I'm interested in feedback, but maybe particularly on this thing here. We all know about underreporting. We know that it's, you're nervous if you sort of, you know, bring something up and this is your advisor, you might be jeopardizing your entire academic career and whatever, and so on. So there's a huge thing about people raising issues, okay? And just because you raise an issue, it doesn't have to automatically go to DEFCON 10, you know, where you know, the dean and the president are going to know about it. You want to make it so that you know, there's something going on here, let's try to correct this problem. And there are many different, when stuff like this happens, you may or may not be comfortable with some of these players. So, you know, locally, yeah, there's the DUS, the undergrad person, the grad person, the chair, maybe they can help. Get out of the department, you might want to talk to the college HR group. Or maybe you want to even get out of that, and maybe the Title IX office, okay? We're going to set up a, this is a placeholder name, but a website like the bias and the hazing websites where people can, if they want, engage in an anonymous conversation. The key here is lots of avenues for bringing issues up, okay? And yeah, so that's the eighth thing there. So I'm happy to entertain questions. And a good thing you could do is you're all gonna go back at 1:30 to your place. Just talk this up. We gotta learn how to talk about this stuff as a campus. You know, I've done some things where, you know, here's some taboo topics, like retirement. I did a big emeritus thing last year. You know, retirement is an awkward topic, but you gotta learn how to talk about it if you're a chair and stuff like that. Also financial aid. We have to learn how to talk about that in a scientific sort of way. And here's another topic that's, you know, it's awkward, you know, it's tricky, and we all, you know, it's in the news, and we have to learn how to talk about this. So that, like, when I go to my chair with a disclosure plan, I don't have to be embarrassed or sheepish about it. It's just a natural thing, as if I was saying, hey, I got this company over there, and I want to make sure I don't commit any kind of conflict of interest. It's just as natural and as matter of fact as that. So 99% of this policy is all about prevention. And the next 6 weeks, when this stuff is going to be hopefully out there, it's an occasion for the campus just to think about this stuff. I had a friend who runs a big lab, and she told me this yesterday. She knew about our committee's work. She has a grad student in her lab, and we have, I think, 50 Puerto Rican students on campus. And somehow there was the connection, and this grad student said, hey, I know this Puerto Rican student, can she come into the lab? And my friend said, yeah, sure. But in her head, you know, she didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. But the whole way that came about, you know, she sort of made a mental note of that. Because in these big labs, you have to be careful about dynamics, all right? I just mentioned that as an example of what I would like to see, that we all just kind of think about it. We don't obsess about it. It's not like I'm afraid to be friendly, or you don't want to chill the environment, but we have to learn how to talk about that stuff so that we can keep the place going. Okay, yeah, I'm talk too much.
Great. Thank you very much, Charlie. Does anybody have any questions? Jeremy.
So I'm sure this falls into one of your gray area things, but how are you defining a relationship? At what point does this...
The word sexual.
Oh, but this is my slide. This is PowerPoint. If I put sexual and or romantic relationships, I'd run out of the but it's all throughout our, yeah.
I thought maybe you weren't comfortable.
That was strictly a PowerPoint issue. Okay, so we spent some time on the committee on this, and in the lead paragraph with the word relationship, if you click on that, you'll get a little paragraph. So it could be something that, you know, that lasted for one day or longer. But you can't, you know, there's only so much you can say. And we talked about platonic relationship. You know, we went through the whole list. there's only so much you can say, you know. You can't define any of this stuff. You can't define, academic authority in a clean way. You can't draw a bright line saying that you're on the other side, that's no good, and you're on this side, it's all. You can't, that's the...
And that's why we have review boards.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, Daniela.
I was wondering, do you foresee any kind of resources for faculty and staff to have a confidential conversation
About the procedure? So think, I've looked at the hazing website, I've looked at the bias website, I've talked to the people who run those things, you know, what do you do when something comes in the door, and they have protocols for doing that. I might want to be totally anonymous, but then you might say, oh, I can't help you until you just give me a little more information. So that kind of dialogue goes on with these other websites, and I envision something like that here. It is such a hard problem, this, really. That's why I get pessimistic when I think about, catching people and sanctions. But I get much more optimistic when I think about this educating people about it. If we do that right, it'll make a huge difference.
And a kind of a follow-up, I was wondering, so the website that you're envisioning, who would that go to? Like, would there be a separate
audience? We have tons of little details like that. So there's some talk, when we're all done, we might say, do we need a whole new office, like a Title IX type office? I kind of would resist that. I think, the college HR units, I think we might have to hire some extra people or whatever, but I think it's better to embed them in some of our standard structures. The college HR offices, I think, are the right place to do that. But we don't also know the volume of the problem. Flooded was, we just don't know. I know back in October when we put up our 10 questions, people were saying, oh, Charlie, you're going to get hate mail. We're going to get thousands. none of that happened. There wasn't a single posting that had to be rejected. I mean, so a lot of unknowns here. But.
Kevin?
Just going to ask a kind of a question because it came up once in our at our department is, what about the relationships that have already been developed?
Right. Okay, yeah, so, in my age, I don't know what the stat is, but like in my age group, I'm just guessing, probably 10% of the Cornell faculty probably married a grad student that may here's a standard thing. Hey, if this policy wasn't enforced 30 years ago, I never would have been married my wife. You know, that kind of stuff. I can't say that at home. So here are some of the arguments. One is times have changed, okay? We're not saying that what you did is wrong. It's simply times have changed, and we see this in many different arenas. But also, this doesn't, at the grad level, okay, it's nuanced. I mean, it's not like a blanket, you don't blanket it at all. So it's really great. I like questions like this, and this because I have to go in front of the Senate in 2 weeks. It's got to be sharp. Stuff like that, I thought about that a lot. That's one of the hard ones.
Yeah, I think if I'm understanding correctly, it sounds like the relationship is not rejected. The power dynamic of being in direct control of that person is what's not being allowed, and there's ways around that. Yeah.
And again, the focus is on the environment. A totally consensual relationship in some lab or can ruin the whole research dynamic, and we have to focus. The focus is on that. Make that good rather than this is wrong.
Charlie, thank you very much for the work that you and your committee are doing. We appreciate the presentation.
Okay, good. Yeah, the pleasure to come over here always.
Thanks, Charlie. I vote to suspend the agenda for 5 minutes so people can go outside and get food since it's not actually here.
Second? All right.
Seeing no objection.
Seeing no objection, let's go get food.
So we'll kick back off at 12:52.
Got the.
Good.
For like a week or two? Oh, gosh.
That's the problem is.
Ooh.
I'd have to go back. It was, it's really obscure, which is like, that sounds like
I really know a lot of them,
but I will.
I want to let my juice again.
Seriously. We'll see. It was just like, at the end of the day, heard this, I'm like, I imagine that. Something like that.
Because something like that would have to be.
Oh, I can't, yeah. I'm sure that there would be.
Yeah.
He'd like to come to one of our meetings.
I touch base with
her too, just to be like, okay. What do you want us to
I've
say?
I've heard it from the girlfriend of the family.
Yeah.
Trustees are.
So if you wanted to reach out to him. Because he was.
My friend didn't say
he
was a faculty partner. Was the story. And she refused to tell me who, and I'm pretty sure that's who he did. So I don't know what you want me to do with this, but yeah. So, you know. It's one of those things like where, you know, I said I, you know, ask around a little bit, but it's kind of like, this just sounds like one of those things.
Okay.
Probably came from five sources.
Yeah, I know.
And then it distilled into something like that. You know, it's just, so. Like I figured I knew what the answer is.
Yeah. So, but if it helps, they can always reach out.
Sure. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't figure, you know, there was anything to it, but yeah, it's
But I just wanted to get a sense of, is this just, I heard this?
That was the problem. Is this
a whole bunch of folks?
No, it was like, I heard this from no faculty member. I'm like,
from a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
From a friend who works at course.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, really? What do you want me to do? But I appreciate you getting
that.
Yeah,
yeah, but things like those, because I
I'm sure,
it's just so that.
And so when I get it, it's like
if there's like multiple points of that, yeah, which and I will probably later on today forward on if there is, because the rumor is just as bad as, you know, the real thing.
Exactly.
If a lot of people are here.
Exactly. That's why.
Yeah.
That's the context.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. For sure. Awesome.
Good.
Good. You know?
I don't have any.
So it's like, you know, it's you have to be careful. There's a year.
Thank you.
It's been helpful.
Yeah. I ordered way back in January, but
where were you before?
I don't know.
My wife and I just moved from Illinois a couple months ago. She took a job. My wife's the director of the economic development for the governor's office for like the southern tier.
Okay.
So we moved in when she got
here.
So
that
where I started at Cornell like 9 months ago. So in May, I worked in.
Yeah, I don't know
if
you regular
hours. Yeah. It's nice to be doing
welcome.
Like, yeah, you know, communication.
You're not in the house.
Are you in Bruce?
Not anymore. Oh, you did.
I did it for
a while.
Yeah.
I
so that's what being out is better. You look like
you're
working
out.
Job offers, this works out great. We have people we know here.
Oh,
it's been, yeah, it's been really cool.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, yeah, for that, though, I think we're going to get some food.
I know, yeah.
Oh.
I was in the, I think,
this is your sixth.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
Humphreys.
Well, this is.
Humphreys, yeah.
Yes, and he knows where we are. It's like right from the district. Usually we say staff, people are like, oh, yeah, that weird building. Trying to get more.
I got a bit of color in, right?
Oh, God.
You went to one.
But so many people are hiding in what I believe behind, like.
The sun.
Like, shade out.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
What year are you?
Oh, sophomore. All right. Where are you from? Oh, Chicago.
Okay, great. We're glad to have you join us.
See if I can embarrass myself upon recording by dropping one hole in my beard.
That'll be the caption photo.
Yeah.
So confusing.
I always love when the, like, the news reporter is going to be here taking pictures too. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not. No.
Never intended to be.
Okay, so we'll call the meeting back to order. I know we still have a few folks that are out getting food, but we'll go ahead. I'd like to make just a few announcements while you all are enjoying your lunch. So first of all, an update from last night's university assembly meeting. I kind of just wanted to pass along some of the information in addition to what Charlie had mentioned regarding the possibility of senior lecturers and lecturers and their status within the university and where they might fall to have a voice. We did pass University Assembly Resolution 5, which was a bylaw change clarifying the charge of the codes of the Judicial Committee. And this resolution, you can find the details on the University Assembly page. It will be forwarded to the president. University Assembly Resolution number 11, which is the proposal of a one-year term extension for the judicial administrator. That was also passed last night. And then we started discussing University Assembly Resolution 9, which is reinstating the Budget Planning Committee, but that was tabled due to the fact that we had some guest speakers that came in at that point. And we felt that more conversation would be needed around that particular subject. As a brief snapshot of the history, there used to be a budget planning committee that was part of the University Assembly. And it, I think around 2000, was folded into the campus planning committee and so forth. So that's going to be readdressed. It was brought forward by one of the undergraduate student assembly representatives. And the discussion to the point we had where it was tabled was all very interesting and some good pros and cons of why we should potentially move that forward. So I'll let you know once we have updates on that. The guest that we had speak last night were the presidents of the Interfraternity Council, the Panhellenic Council, and the Multicultural Life, excuse me, the MGLC. And the questions that were asked of the panel revolved around the campus code of conduct. And each one of the individuals presented their perspectives on the campus code of conduct and how fraternities and sororities and multicultural groups fall under that campus code of conduct as either an organization or as an individual when misconduct occurs. So very good discussion around that. The campus judicial committee or the codes judicial committee are taking a look at that issue as part of a larger discussion. So nothing was decided out of that. It was more of an information sharing opportunity. Anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. The student assembly has also mentioned the smoking referendum that's been discussed previously. Just to provide you an update on that, again, not a decision platform, but more of a discussion and sharing where they're at. This referendum will be impacting all organizations across campus. And so what the student was sharing with us was that there are going to be multiple opportunities and venues for folks to provide feedback, concerns, pros, cons, over the next several months as this progresses forward before any decisions are made on campus. Finally,
just
yeah.
I just want to add to that. One of the things that they talked about that I think folks will find important is they are aware that they are likely to get different numbers of responses based on which group it is, faculty, staff, what have you. So one of the things they're working on is a way to make equivalent those responses despite the difference in the numbers of responses. So in essentially, to give employees equal voice to students, even if there are 10 times as many student responses as there are employee responses.
Thank you, Jeremy. And then lastly, the Transportation Task Force. I'm sorry, Gina, you wanted to mention something?
If I may, just to chime in a little bit on the tobacco referendum, just to clarify, the referendum is as Jeremy just said, they're working on creating definitions around the threshold and what a vote means and what actually crossing that threshold will mean. It's an answer to a yes or no question, and there is space for public comment. But it's the mechanism of referendum is not one that's typically used, that we haven't really employed as an action-seeking device at Cornell. So there will be some education about the process. But once a vote is actually taken, it's just really answering whether you're in support of the question, answering yes or no. And the president has all of the actions of the assemblies are advisory. They're all making recommendations. There's nothing that will be binding in this referendum to the office of the president. What she has said is, even though I'm not bound to whatever you your results are, I really value your getting the consensus and the input from the community as we move forward on this particular topic. So just to clarify that I think it's important for you as the assembly members to know so that you can answer questions to the constituency. Any of the big question that we keep hearing is, what does it mean if I vote in this for this during this referendum? And there's some procedural questions we can answer, but the main one is, it really is just getting a sense of the body, sense of the whole community on this particular topic.
Great, thank you very much, Gina.
Can I just ask one question on that?
Yes, please, go ahead, Carrie.
I'm just curious how, if you know yet, how those results will come through to the president. Will it just be a total sort of sum number or broken out by constituency? Just wondering.
Yep, I think that's where the process right now, in the committee, the Campus Welfare Committee is grappling with that very question right now. Everybody in the campus community, faculty, students, and staff, will be sent be given the opportunity to participate, and then and we'll have that data based on constituencies, and then it's what does how that threshold is. As Jeremy just mentioned, it's not just participation within a constituency, but the undergraduates may overwhelmingly participate because they're more civically involved and they have a particular interest in this. Graduate students and international students may feel very differently. The staff community also very differently. So it's giving weight. So I'm actually reaching out to some experts in that, in the Scheinman Institute and to some of the faculty members that have expertise in that field. So.
Great, thank you very much, Gina. And then finally, Kevin was as a member of the Task Force Transportation Task Force liaison, reminded the University Assembly of their responsibility to fill vacancies that are currently on the FAB. Right now, the Employee Assembly is carrying the weight on that, and so that reminder was received and understood. So it's really going to be a matter of identifying those individuals that will continue to participate in order to support that important process. Right now, Kevin mentioned that there are currently 18 appeals that have to be addressed. Is that correct? That were thrown out previously. And because we did not have that board in session. So trainings required for that, as we all know, but that message was heard loud and clear. The last thing I'll say before moving to the committee reports, or excuse me, old business, is that I appreciated the opportunity to send out the email last week, just kind of providing some update and some clarification on priorities going forward. And as we move through the remainder of the academic semester, I will continue to send out kind of an update email the week prior to our next meeting, just to get everybody on the same sheet of music and where we're headed. And so with that, are there any questions for me on any of the points that I just brought up? Great. We'll go ahead and move now to, yes.
I didn't understand the last bit about.
I used your time frame that I had for the FAB board. It had nothing to do with transportation.
What is the FAB?
The appeals board for
transportation hearing and appeals board.
Okay.
It's a university assembly board made up of 12 representatives. Four for us, four faculty, two undergrad, and two graduate.
And who hasn't staffed their site?
Everybody except for the employees.
The faculty.
So you're there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And GPS had actually staffed today.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, good.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and skip over old and new business, actually, because I think that's going to fall within the committee reports. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Carrie, communications.
Oh, well, hello. How's everybody?
Motivated.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, communications hit a bit of a bumpy road the last couple of weeks, largely due to my workload and the fact that I was out for several days sick. So we did not meet as scheduled last week, and I'm sorry about that. Our mailing to staff, all staff, was also postponed, and I am working to get us back on track. Hoping to have a draft by Monday. but in the interest of following up on some of the concerns raised in our last meeting about campus engagement, I had an idea that I wanted to throw out there, and I haven't even thrown it out. It's only been discussed in exec so far. But next Thursday, March 8th, is International Women's Day, and I wondered whether we might have enough, anyone can participate, but women representatives that would like to join together and maybe staff a table or two out on campus, possibly providing some sort of snack or treat. But basically with the idea of celebrating the day, engaging with women employees to hear their concerns, just network and meet, and also talk up the upcoming elections. And there will be the women's representative seat will be open. I guess I just wanted to throw it out there. I thought it might be fun and a good experiment for some campus engagement. Would anybody be interested in getting together for an online planning meeting by sometime tomorrow or Friday? Anyone? No hands? Okay.
as the elections chair, I would obviously, and then as a female, and as my position on the exec, I think it's good. So it'd be interesting to try it out. I know it's short notice, and normally it takes us quite a bit of time to kind of arrange these things, but let's try it out and see. And I'm more than happy to get out there. I want to see if we recruit and just being an active voice, and let's go for it.
Not setting a terribly high bar for, you know, like complexity. Just, you know, a table and people willing to talk and just engage people on campus and, you know, figure out the logistics. But how should we do this? I'll send out an email to the members list. Oh, hey, are you interested?
I am interested, but that's sort of a busy day for me. So do you have a vague idea of what kind of time commitment that would be? What it might involve?
It's up in the air at the moment. If anyone's interested and sort of get together via email, maybe. I'll send out an email to the members list, and you guys can respond with your availability and just figure out. I mean, obviously, I'm remote. I'm in Orlando, so I'm not a super big help when it comes
to. We expect
to
you to fly up for next week, please.
I wish I could. So, you know, it would be the kind of thing that I don't want to do a sort of, we're going to have a table and anyone who feels like showing up, show up. I would want to do it if we have a handful of people committed, even if it's for just an hour or two or whatever. So,
great.
I'll send that email out and see what response we get.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Any other points you need to bring up?
No. No, not at the moment.
Yeah, that's Thursday the 8th, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yep, next week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Employee Education and Development Committee.
So we met last week. We're basically working on a communication plan for how to get information out to staff about the opportunities that are available, and we're thinking of maybe trying to find staff who have taken advantage and doing spotlights. So we're working on how to gather who those people might be and then what kind of information we need to get out.
Great. Thank you very much. Employee Welfare Committee.
We are having a meeting tomorrow from 1 to 2 p.m. in Savage 232. If anybody would like to join our group, even if you're not officially on the committee, we'd welcome having you there. We will be discussing two proposed resolutions. One is Adam's sustainability resolution. The other one has to deal with non-exempt retirement benefits. Currently, non-exempt employees are in the endowed colleges, do not receive retirement contributions by the university upon employment, whereas exempt employees do. So four of us are putting together a resolution on that. That's already been discussed in the Personnel Policy Committee, and we're discussing it at the Employee Welfare Committee, and eventually it'll come here, the whole committee.
Great. Thank you, Laura. Elections Committee.
Gina and I met just this past week to iron out the last details. The office assembly is completely all set and ready to go to have everything online and accessible. That will be up and going on the 19th of March. The website was supposed to be cleaned up for the committee members of the election committee. I'm not sure if you guys do that. We met Friday, so.
The website?
Hmm.
You mean just for the?
Yeah. Ours. It wasn't updated for the actual elections committee members.
Oh, adding the committee members on. Oh, I see. On the committee page, I was thinking.
Yeah, sorry.
Page is all.
Okay. No, the elections page. Okay. Just because I've already reached out to those of you that are, up. Your term is up, and that you need to submit your documentations if you wish to proceed. For those of you that are new and that took over a term that was ending, we will accept the same sort of documents that you had for the last time around if you wish to continue. We're not going to make you do it all again. And then this engagement that Carrie has would be, I think, a fantastic opportunity to get it out there and make sure that on the 19th, when we open up, we get, because as many people as possible, we have 18 seats up for grabs, people. So we need to get this out, and we need to see some good engagement.
Great. Thank you very much. Personal Policy Committee.
Sue is on vacation, but I know the next meeting is scheduled for March 22nd.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Kat. Have a good day. Staff recognition and awards. I know that Tanya was planning to join us late. I don't know if
here.
She's on. Okay,
I'm
great.
On.
Hey, Tanya.
Hello. So update on that is that we do have our next George Peter Award date just scheduled yesterday. Marilyn was able to find time on Mary's calendar. That is March 29th at 8:30 in the morning. And Gina, Pam, Craig and I met probably about 2 weeks ago to put some protocols in place to just organize and make the event go smoothly. So I will be filling those in and get them out to the group, and we'll get our event planned. And then we have one more date. They're looking at two different dates for that one. TBD.
Great. Thank you very much, Tanya.
You're welcome.
Transportation Task Force.
Hi. So Carrie and I have been working to understand the results of the second poll that was done. There's been a staff person identified who participated and entered the drawing. So we'll be delivering that. I'll send out a kind of a time when I'm going to pop over and meet them. So if anyone wants to come along. The transportation office is expecting their consultant on site and active in March. So we anticipate that we will be a part of some conversations we don't know yet when they're kicking off that effort. So I will let you all know that as well. And I think that's it.
Great, thank you. Employee elected trustee. All right, thank you, Chad. And we retirees.
Well, Perf and I are part of a committee that meets once every 4 months. There are three retired professors. There's the current and former director of benefits attend that. There are a couple of analysts that come, and Michelle Arteby. And so the big push at this meeting is to understand why more people don't participate in the retirement program in Cornell. And they have done a lot of analysis to find that out. They don't have an answer yet.
Right.
To make people more aware of that opportunity. But the Cornell Retirement Association has done away with its board of directors. They were run from the very beginning that way. And I think this steering committee will serve that function, sort of. You know, HR at Cornell has taken over things like speakers for the CRA trips, any of the functions they have. So all they need is a steering committee. And I think we probably will fill that void.
Great. Yeah. That's a step in the right direction.
It was a very interesting meeting.
All right. Thank you very much. Executive Committee report.
So our topics of discussion recently have been centered around outreach and engagement around the upcoming elections. Also around ways to preserve some kind of institutional knowledge, do better with our setting of expectations and understandings for representatives and committee chairs as we go forward. And maybe actually developing some kind of training manuals or how-tos to get folks up to speed a little faster enough so that they don't have to relearn things that we learned in the past through trial and error.
Great. So I'd like to take the last few minutes to talk about a couple pieces with regard to the expectations of the committee chairs. And when I brought this up in the email last week, I think it's going to be very important, as Hey had mentioned previously, that we should provide some type of update to the community regarding our past resolutions and where they stand with implementation and so forth. I think probably the easiest way to do this would be via Carrie and a separate possible mailer as just an addendum to the normal mailers that we do, but some collective effort to share with our community where we've been and what we've done and then where we're going. Yes.
I have a quick question. Are we allowed to share President Pollack's responses to the resolutions that have been sent to her, for example, the transportation survey? Because, you know, I think that might be
absolutely
useful if
yeah,
we're allowed
that,
to share
that's
it in
public
public.
Information.
Well, and it was in the Cornell Sun. They're in the website.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're on the website. Huge article in the Cornell Sun about and quoting members.
Yes. Matter of fact, all of our discussions, all of our email communication,
yeah.
Everything that we're doing is on the record. This is, the transparency to all of our constituents is an important piece. So the president's communication would be just as well reviewed by everybody.
I guess what I'm thinking is that if each of, you know, they're on the Office of Assembly's dashboard under committees, there are tabs, and, you know, if you click on that, a lot of times there isn't much information on that, but if we had the resolution sent and the reply right under there, that would be a quick or an easy place for people to go or refer people to it if they want to find out what the Transportation Task Force did, for example,
yep.
there.
And I think that is a very valid point. This is more an effort to kind of reinforce some of those communication mechanisms. And I would tell you that, you know, folks reading resolutions, it's a challenging thing to all the whereas and, you know, what it be it finally resolved. So if we can put it in some just plain, simple language that kind of encapsulates and summarizes what was discussed, where it's at in implementation, and if things have not happened, you know, what are kind of the next steps? So
I think in addition to that, at least in my mind, one of the things that we're considering here is one additional step beyond that, which is not just the president's response, but after that response, say 6 months down the road, somewhere during the term for that committee, go back and say, okay, this is what the president responded. What has happened since then that we can kind of report back to what's actually happened? Just because I think that will give the initial response doesn't actually have any action attached to it. It might have some actions intended, but it would be good to and I think the weight of this is going to be put on the committee chairs for any resolutions that go through their committee to kind of reach out at some interval later to say, has there been any actual changes made since this resolution was accepted?
Sorry.
Pam's gone.
Oh, yes.
So just so everyone's aware, if you want to be able to reference this yourself or share it with constituencies, you know, our homepage of the website has, our homepage, at the very top, there is this top nav bar, which are quick links to that, but you could also go through shared governance, employee assembly, and there's a drop-down, pull-down menu there to access the resolutions that are specific to the EA. And then if you, whatever the resolution is in question, it will give you a full history of that resolution when it was introduced. And if you were to click on any of these things, it will give you the fuller details, all the communications. If it was amended, it will actually include what the amendments were in each previous version of that resolution. So it's kind of the life of a resolution all in one location. And then if you ever wanted to see which resolutions were addressed at which meetings, you could actually go and just arbitrarily pick one. And you could see these are the resolutions that were dealt with and kind of their current status. So there are multiple ways of finding it. I don't know if it's always the most intuitive for how people go to access it, but certainly interested in some feedback if we could create stronger linkages. If, you know, this is how our minds maybe work. I don't know how everyone else's does, but certainly a lot of thought went into trying to make this available, publicly accessible as possible.
So as part of a resolution, when we put status, and I think it says submitted to the president, like that one you just had.
Yeah.
Is it at this point when we look at status that you could say pretty much president's response? Or where do you find response?
So the resolution history, so the president has not yet responded to this one.
She actually did.
Did she do it? Okay, then I'll have to check.
I think
we're working with
that's a newer one.
Okay, so we'll look. But all of the history of it will appear here.
Right, but I'm just thinking, like, what Hay was saying is that we never see where the full circle.
So what happened afterwards.
And, correct, but
like
I'm just saying
what,
is under that one resolution, we should be seeing response and then the total outcome of whatever our resolution did is did it. Did it change policy? If it did, then we should show where that policy change was because of our input with that resolution.
So in other words, an additional history field here. So obviously this needs to include, if the president responded and it hasn't been updated, that obviously needs to be entered in there. But typically that's where we would consider it completed in terms of the life of that resolution. But what you're suggesting is to have an additional field there that would then say the response to the president's response of some sort, like, or the
sort of like action items, maybe if it's relevant.
Great. So I think that's probably a Gina. I don't know how.
If I may, I think these are great ideas, and I think even including the under the associated meetings, the committee meetings where these items were discussed. In this particular case, we'll certainly make sure that we have the updated response from the president. The archive of legislative history is pursuant to the actions of the assembly. We can certainly update something, but that's not something we would track. So if the committee or the sponsors wanted to do the follow-up and find out how, you know, the president responded to this, saying that she would do this, and then the assembly is reporting back, we can capture that and certainly pull out whatever relevant, part of the minutes reflect that. But at this point, unless there's an action that the assembly is putting forth, it wouldn't be something that we would have, that would necessarily just present itself there. So I guess it's a great idea. We just need to figure out the process, the conduit of handoff of information, so that we can make sure that you've got the information you want. It's your information. Tell us, you know, what it is that you'd like to have presented. So I think it's a really great idea, and certainly has it's very impactful. So if you'd like to discuss, or if there's a small group of folks that we can get together and hash that out, I'd be very interested in doing that.
Yeah, and I certainly am not implying that this is going to be an additional workload for the OA. This is our responsibility, I think, mm-hmm. To our constituents, just to find out where it's at in terms right. of implementation. So, but thank you for that, Gina. Real quick, next meeting, we don't have a invited guest, and I think that is great. I think that we should take the opportunity over our next meeting to use that time at the committee levels, or to even just have some open discussions surrounding some of the particulars of what we've got going on. As we roll into the elections, as we start thinking about the possibility of a retreat this summer, use this time to kind of brainstorm what other pieces need to be taken care of. And lastly, the Board of Trustees meeting on the 21st, our reception, if we're able to use that time at our next meeting to kind of identify what are the three big questions that we'd have. And if we have the opportunity to get through all three, great. But if not, maybe we can prioritize what are those three big questions that we would like to take to the Board of Trustees during that reception. To put on their plates for thought.
Do we have the time confirmed for it? Or location?
Yes, it's going to be, yes, I have both. I will pass that along in an email I've got in my other notes. So, are there any questions?
I have a quick question for Gina. Is she there?
She had a 1:30 meeting in Bay Hall. So
there's Gina. Yeah, okay. just a real quick, so our fiscal year for budget ends June?
May 31st. It coincides with the term of the assembly.
Okay, so May 31st. So is there a way that we can kind of get a projected budget of what we have currently and what we project? Because I'm just thinking is if we have extra funds that, you know, we might want to start directing them somewhere. I don't know if it's, you know, addition and adding more to care. I don't know that, but I don't know where we're at this point. You know, I know it's only, March, might as well just say. So we do have some time, but I was just curious if there was a way that we could figure out what we had. I remember the last one where we purchased the shirts, you know, and stuff like that we might have needed in the past budget. I'm not saying just to obligate funds, just to obligate them, but in case we have something that we might benefit from.
Mm-hmm. We could sure, I typically do quarterly budget reports. I'll generate one for you at the end as of, you know, when the day closes out today. And if you have any questions, we can meet. And if you'd like one more regularly than quarterly, certainly let me know, and I'm happy to generate those reports.
I just knew that we were looking at switching some funds over, I think, for one of Tanya's
things. The kudos and the reception.
Yeah, that. And I don't know with Carrie, you know, if we're adding tables and stuff like that to this
on the
national, yeah, if that is something. I just want to make sure that we have the right amount of money where it should be.
Yep.
So that we can use it right.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, everybody. Really appreciate your hard work and your commitment to the assembly. It is very important, and you'll be enthusiastic when you get out there with your constituents. Share the energy and the passion for what we're doing, and let's be advocates. So with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh,
What's that? An automatic setting that you can turn off.